Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. We have a number of guests on this show that talk about different aspects of healthy living, and we have another person here knowledgeable of that subject. Mary Kaminsky is joining me for the show right now. Mary, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me.
It is good to have you. And so this would be an opportunity to talk about, you know, we're going to look at the subject from a few different viewpoints, I believe, as we get into different things that we're going to talk about. But first, you know, you're someone that comes in with a lot of knowledge and a lot of background on these subjects. Why are you passionate about these things?
I've always been focused on health. I don't like getting sick. I don't like getting hurt. I like to be functional. I've been an athlete all my life. How can that be enhanced? So as a child, I mean, all my life, I've been aware of it.
And where'd you go to school? Where's your
I went to Hillsdale background? College. My degrees, I'm a health educator. My degrees are in health education, psychology, and biology minors. I was on my way to Colorado State. I had been teaching nutrition and behavior modification in Texas. I'm on my way to Colorado State for a graduate assistantship, and I get a call from my athletic director at Hillsdale to tell me about a job at Michigan Tech up here. I said, nope, I'm done with sports. I'm on my way to grad school, and I was going to study maximum human performance and exercise phys, which, again, I was not good enough to make the national team, so I think that's probably what shaped my direction. How can you be better? He says, oh, just make the trip. And then 30-some years later, I'm still here. So health and performance have always been my passion or focus.
Do you still work as a health educator now?
Yes, I do. In fact, I have several people who are of the preventative mode, but I have more people who come to see me when crisis strikes. And my most recent student, I'll call him, he came in probably 3 weeks ago or so, and I have learned not to force this information on people. I have done that in the past, and it's been well received, and it's also been I've offended people, and I apologize. But this latest student came in, and he was asking me all sorts of questions. I'm like, well, why are you here to see me? He's like, I know what you're doing here. Well, anyway, he says I've saved his life, which I haven't. I've just shared information with him, and he is saving his own life. He has welcomed the 40-plus years of research, which shows how we can avoid cancer, heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's. We can avoid it, and or we can recover from it.
Now, would you describe your approach as an alternative to traditional forms of healthy living or medicine?
No, it's just healthy living. Medicine is necessary when crisis strikes. And doctors of medicine prescribe medicine. What I'm prescribing, I guess, I'm not a doctor. We should probably throw that out. Okay. I am not a doctor. I'm a health educator. And I share information and I try to educate people on ways to respect your health, respect yourself, respect your organs. We as Americans torture our organs, and we think nothing of it until, of course, crisis strikes. Mm. Similar to back in the day when we had the smoky restaurants and smoky bars, and we'd come home and our hair didn't smell good and our clothes smelled terrible, not even considering what's happening on the inside. Well, analogously, the same thing happens with our liver and our pancreas and our stomach and everything. I mean, our, you know, esophageal cancer from ongoing acid reflux. Instead of medicating it, change your behavior.
Do you find yourself frustrated when things like, in your viewpoint, or people are suffering from misconceptions over what is healthy and what's not?
I'm kind of beyond the frustration. I've tried my best. But it is avoidable. This latest student is probably what's motivated me to make one last ditch effort to spread the word. And this person actually said, second to the Bible, the China Study is the best book he's read. It's, like I said, 40 years of research all over the world. Some people who kind of bounce around in the book, they think, no, I don't get it. And they're skeptical. But people tend to be skeptical or maybe refusing new information if it means they have to change their life.
Well, since you bring it up, what is the China Study?
The China Study, it's the most comprehensive study of nutrition ever conducted. It's called the China Study. T. Colin Campbell, PhD. He is a biochemistry professor at Cornell University. He grew up a farmer. So when he was on this grant and research to study animal production, of all things, he was shocked when he was faced with contradictory information to what he has learned and known all his life. You know, drink milk, milk does a body good, or, you know, milk does a body bad, actually. And I, when I, you know, I was introduced to this by another health-related person. He said, boy, Mary, when you get to that part of the book, you might change your mind. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I drink it in my coffee. I drink it on my cereal. I got to page 6. That's how quickly it's in this book. I haven't had milk since. You know, and as you continue to go on through this book, and I've shared this with people with prostate cancer, one man was livid when he's reading this, and he's asking me, why in the world don't we know about this? I said, it's out there, but until you educate yourself, you're at the mercy of marketing.
Now, you're aware that, you know, a lot of health experts would disagree.
Absolutely.
Okay, and but you're okay with that?
Oh, sure. However, if you're concerned with the health, this is all science. This, he goes from, and that's why I strongly encourage people, and my latest student being one of them, you start at the start and you read this thing all the way through. Another person, well, people have read it and they bounce around, and that's where they just don't get it. A person who was potentially diagnosed with bladder cancer, I sat him down and I forced this information on him. He changed, it was from his diabetic medication. He completely welcomed it. 3 weeks later, his medication was reduced by, I think, 30%. He dodged a bladder cancer bullet. But his comment of this book, it was funny. He's like, well, he thinks we're an idiot. He keeps repeating these things, you know. I said, well, he's a professor, and teachers have a tendency of building on a point and then maybe starting the next conversation or topic on the same point and working from there. So he doesn't think you're an idiot. He's a professor. He's an a teacher.
All right. Well, let's talk about some basics. If somebody was coming to you, and it doesn't have to be somebody that you have talked to, but let's say it's me. I'm coming to you, and I'm asking, all right, well, you know, this is how I kind of live my life currently. I'm a meat and potatoes guy. I take a couple of different medications. I'm in my mid-40s, relatively height and weight proportion, a little on the heavier side. But in general, you know, I think I'm fairly healthy. But I come to you, and I say, I want to do some better things. I want to improve my life. What advice would you give me?
First of all, this caters to a plant-based consumption, a plant-based lifestyle. I dislike the word diet, and I would strongly encourage you, and with everybody else, I point out different, you know, concepts in the book to sort of plant that seed. I would, with everybody, I encourage them to get, if they care, get this book and read it. And this is very science. His follow-up book called Whole, Rethinking the Science of Nutrition, is a little more for the people who aren't so science-oriented. But getting back to your question, I would see what your lifestyle is like and then make the suggestions. I know you get up very early, but regardless of what time it is, you have to break your fast. You have got to fuel your body. And I start every day of my life with oatmeal and blueberries. And people think, well, isn't that redundant? And I say, well, you eat to live, not live to eat. Americans' favorite pastime is eating. Everything we do, we talk about eating, or it's surrounded with food. And I get that. That's kind of a culture thing, too. But anyway, you fuel and refuel. And that's a quote from Nancy Clark, one of the best sports nutritionists. You get up, you eat your breakfast, and you start your day. Again, plant-based, you will metabolize that quicker. So you need to refuel a little bit later. And it's just a matter of keeping your body fueled. I've known people who they don't eat breakfast, they don't eat lunch, they eat a lot at dinner, and then they sit there idly. And what they're doing, what they're consuming in the first place is probably unhealthy too.
Blueberries, of course, have been identified as one of those superfoods, one of those ones we should work in, like avocados are very in vogue right now, trying to work avocados in there. Not saying that that's what you're suggesting, but just bringing that up.
Well, let me just interrupt for a second.
Sure.
You cannot eat one thing and make your life good. What you would need to move toward is a plant-based lifestyle. Animal protein is what allows cancer to bind in our cells. 3% of cancer is genetic. what we bring on ourselves is how we cause this, all our ailments, all our trouble. We have our cancer organization meetings, and you hear it nationally and you hear it locally, and let's, you know, our cancer awareness things. And sure, and we're going to have meat, and dessert. So come on down, and we'll all, you know, talk about how we're going to get things going this year. And you asked me earlier about frustration. I'm not really frustrated. People, if they knew what they were doing to themselves on a biochemistry level, on a cellular level, they may rethink their practices. And, well, and that's why I would just like to get this word out because, well, if 3% of the cancer is genetic, 97% of it is potentially avoidable.
Well, earlier when you mentioned plant-based eating, are you referring to veganism or vegetarianism?
Absolutely. Vegan, yeah. I've been, I would call probably a vegetarian all my life. I grew up in Hawaii. I saw my brother kill his first boar. I cried my eyes out because then he was young. But my dad said, you got to go do the rest of it. Well, later in life, I was still in high school, my brothers and his friends, their friends brought home a sea turtle that night fishing. And when you start to slaughter a sea turtle, they cry just like a baby. Do you know how that can scar a young person? I can tell you. So I've never been fond of eating animal anyway, but I never thought milk was bad for me. I mean, I would say no one has to die for this. But cheese, I've never been a cheese fan. But anyway, anything dairy, casein in dairy turns on and off the cancer switch. That's where page 6 in the China study, I was shocked. I've been misled just like everybody else. Because we hear, again, the marketing, and what's behind it. And I'm not trying to put anybody out of business. Absolutely not. It's like smoking. People know smoking is bad and people still smoke. That's their quality of life. If your quality of life is excessive, unhealthy, fast food, that's fine. But it's the ignorance that I would like people to know. And then when you know and you still choose to do, then by all means, it's your life. And I'm fine with that.
But studies have conclusively shown that there's a direct link between smoking and cancer. What you're talking about with meats and with dairies, can you back that up? Has there been studies similar to that?
About 40 years of studies turning on and off the cancer switch. In the book, we found what was shocking. Low protein diets inhibit the initiation of cancer by aflatoxin, regardless of, and the aflatoxin was the peanuts in the Philippines, and why the rich kids are getting cancer and the poor kids are not. Well, the rich kids are eating meat and animal products, whereas the poor kids are not, regardless of how much of this carcinogen was administered to these animals. After cancer initiation was completed, low protein diets also dramatically blocked subsequent cancer growth. In other words, the cancer-producing effects of this highly carcinogenic chemical was rendered insignificant by a low-protein diet. In fact, dietary protein proved to be so powerful in its effect that we could turn on and off the cancer growth simply by changing the level consumed. What strongly promoted cancer? Casein, which makes up 87% of cow's milk protein. The safe proteins were from plants, including wheat and soy, and this is the page 6 that I was mentioning. People who ate the most animal-based foods got the most chronic disease. People who ate the most plant-based foods were the healthiest and tended to avoid chronic disease. That's page 7.
Yeah. So among people who are already practicing vegans, perhaps not for the same reason as this, has it been shown that there's a decline in health or health-related problems or cancers in that demographic?
Absolutely. Yep, it's undeniable. The research is undeniable, and the process is undeniable. One thing you find going vegan, and again, I was pretty much vegetarian all my life. I get to page 6, shocked, went completely vegan, and I'm relatively healthy shape. I weigh about 125 pounds. Well, I weighed 130 then. Little me, with no weight to lose, lost about 12 pounds. And that sounds insignificant. I hear it. People say, oh, I could lose that in a day. Well, okay, great. I don't have that much to lose, but that's called thermogenesis. People who are of this persuasion, your body just emits heat. And ironically, vegans need more calories than non-vegans because your body is just so efficient. Your organs do what they're supposed to do. We were made perfectly. And what we do to ourselves is just unbelievable. But again, that's people's lives. That's their choice. Or maybe it's not. Maybe they are unaware of what they're doing, the damage they're doing because of the marketing they hear.
And if you cut off, you mentioned dairy because of no milk, but then I also would include things like cheeses, yogurts, yeah. and anything that's related dairy, to yeah. that. So
anything animal.
Anything animal.
Anything animal, yeah. So eggs. Anything with, and it, again, it's beyond ethical. It is, animal protein is what allows cancer to bind. Dr. David Agus, he's often on the news. I think he's with CBS. But anyway, I had emailed him because he was doing this seminar in Chicago and what the new findings they have. Well, I emailed him, asked him if he knew about the China study. And we had gone back and forth a little bit. I was very impressed that he took the time to respond to someone like, who are you and what are you telling me? You know, so asked him if he knew about the China study. He did. Well, then he was on a few weeks or a month later on the news. And he said, we all have the potential to get cancer. It's how we're feeding ourselves or treating ourselves, he might have said. But again, on a cellular level, it's how you create that petri dish and then what you're allowing to bind.
All right. Well, let's kind of move on for that. So we have that with the no dairy or no animal products, as you've been talking about. But what are some other areas that people can, if they wanted to educate themselves and learn a little bit more?
If I can, I apologize.
Sure, no problem.
I'd like to quote one more thing on Headline News. This was last November. And it was great finding that breast cancer survivors who have gone on and defeated breast cancer, they now have cancer starting elsewhere in their bone, in their liver, and their lungs. Well, guess what? Doctors, again, they're doctors of medicine. They're not necessarily doctors of prevention, but doctors are not telling them to stop feeding your cells to let that cancer spread. So now they have it popping up everywhere in their body because they keep eating animal protein. This is Dr. Suit, Sujatha Reddy. He was on the Headline News. So breast cancer survivors, years later, have cancer popping up elsewhere. Friend of mine had bone cancer, and the doctor said you just need to increase your protein because it's bone, and so it's protein. She ended up having cancer spread all over her body, and she succumbed to it. In my opinion, unnecessarily. Dr. Campbell's wife in Hull was diagnosed with cancer. The doctor said, okay, surgery, chemo, radiation, those are your options. And the doctor didn't realize who her husband was. He was in the office with her. His wife just opted to go completely plant-based. She's cancer-free, and she's living a healthy life since then.
All right. Now, you're presenting going vegan as a cure for cancer.
Or prevention of.
Because you've mentioned a couple of different cases where people have been diagnosed with cancer and going...
Just one. That was just his wife.
Okay, because you had one earlier that you had mentioned.
He avoided bladder cancer. The doctors were suspecting if he keeps on this way, he will get bladder cancer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we can...
But he dodged that bullet. I believe he still has to take medication for his diabetes. He's not completely off of that. Dr. Campbell has a study of 28 diabetic people, type 2 diabetes, for 1 month only. And again, I don't like the whole time frame. You say diet and you think it's like, oh, it's just this, all I have to do is for, X amount of time. Lifestyle. Anyway, I think 26 of the 28 people were completely free of their medication by the end of that time trial with him, just going completely plant-based, no animal protein. Okay.
All right. Let's talk about, we've talked about a lot of don'ts here, so let's talk about some do's. So if you're looking to add healthier foods, okay, so mm-hmm. you avoid the animal products, well, what are some things you should be eating? Because you mentioned like soy was not a good thing at one point, right?
I didn't say that.
Oh, is that?
Nope, that was in here. And it was, that's where the protein came from. But you hear that. That's another thing in the news.
Yeah, like, soy is bad. Yeah.
Dr. Campbell talks about, and again, I'm referring to him as doctor because he's a PhD and he's a professor. People have questioned why he's not a doctor. He's not a medical doctor. And I just want to make that clear.
Okay.
Professors in college with PhDs, you call them doctors. So Dr. Campbell talks about three food groups, animal-based, plant-based, and processed. Just focus on the plant-based. Now, a lot of athletes, you asked me what to do. There you go, plant-based. Avoid the processed, avoid the animal. It's pretty easy to do. It's out there. It's perfect. You don't necessarily need to get caught up in finding green or organic or any other thing, although that would be fine too. There's athletes out there that swear by it. You know, Tom Brady, he's more plant-based. They don't really like the V word, I think. But he's making a killing off of it because Tom Brady is a phenomenal athlete. He's always healthy. And now he's in this program working with a vegan company to eat like Tom Brady for a week. You buy a package, you get five or 10 meals a week, which is fine. But the point the athletes are doing it is because of the anti-inflammatory impact of a vegan diet or plant-based diet. Your healing is much quicker. Tony Gonzalez gave an endorsement in the book called Whole. Tony Gonzalez is an NFL player, all-star. After reading the China study and drastically changing my diet toward the more whole food plant-based diet recommended by Dr. Campbell, my career numbers shot up when they were supposed to be declining. I thought to myself, why doesn't everyone eat this way? This new book, Whole, W-H-O-L-E, answers that question with great clarity. Never again be confused about diet and nutrition. Adrian Foster, I believe, is a football player for Houston. And this is a few years ago. He got verbally assaulted on social media because the word got out he was vegan. And he responded, why is everybody concerned with my diet? They should be talking about world peace, which I thought was a great comeback on his part. But, you know, they're doing it for their performance. A basketball player for Golden State recently said he had an article about this. He used to, you know, do it just before season to get himself lean and to get himself healthy again, but now he hasn't gone back. He talks about John Sally. He's not like John Sally. He's of the plant-based persuasion, but John Sally is total raw. He doesn't even eat cooked food. John Sally, I believe, played for the Pistons.
Yes.
Yep.
I was wondering if that's who you were referring
to. Yep. And he's vegan of the nth degree. He's raw. He just eats raw food and does it that way. But again, these are people that eat to live, not live to eat. They eat for the sake of their machine, which is their body and their performance.
Have you, I guess I don't want to use the word confronted, but people share that this may be a fad, like the Atkins diet was so popular back, you know, until it was kind of proved that it's not a very healthy way to eat. I know a lot of people who are vegans and they are very healthy. The ones that I know, I would imagine, you know, they are. It is a healthy way to eat if you can, if you can manage giving up some of the foods that we love, but. This is the first that I've heard where someone, you know, rather through the book that you're sharing, making the connection that it's beyond more than just losing weight or general physical health. You're talking about the way we're eating is killing us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And how long has this been around? Plato made it perfectly clear. Plato has been around for a while. We shall eat animal at our own peril. 2,500 years ago. Western medicine, Hippocrates advocated diet as a chief way to prevent and treat disease. On my menu, I quote Hippocrates, let food be your medicine.
Yeah, but those are philosophers.
Well, we can debate that some other time, I suppose. But you asked how long has this been around? Is this a fad? This is absolutely not a fad. Dr. Campbell started this back in the 60s. George McGovern was a senator at the time, and he's talked about in this book, too. George McGovern, in 72... was only trying to get Americans to eat more fruits and vegetables. He wasn't trying to put anybody out of business, but apparently he and three or four other senators, they're ousted because don't you dare touch our industries. And all he was trying to do was get Americans to eat more fruits and vegetables. Now, you know, it's a little further. And again, I'm here just to maybe touch the one or two people out there that are at a point that they would really like to, you know, live to see, you know, their kids graduate or maybe, you know, whatever. Something a little bit more in life.
Well, certainly on the show, we encourage people to make up their own minds. And
absolutely.
We're open to, you know, talking about things. I might not agree with everything that, you know, any of my guests say or all the time. And, you know, you would probably have a hard time convincing me on this, but because I love my cheeseburgers. But, you know, people can certainly seek to learn more and, you know, talk to you or check out these books. Let's start with there. If people want to be able to find these particular books, they want to follow up on the reading material, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, our local bookstore is no longer here. The China Study and the book Whole, you would have to go to a bigger town or bigger bookstore, or of course you can get things online. I'm an advocate of shop local first, but I don't think you can get them locally anymore. Okay. So it would probably be in a bigger city or online. But if I can get back to your cheeseburger.
Oh, sure.
Two things. Animal in itself, if we only knew how that animal got to our grocery store and to my plate or my drive-thru, whatever, it may or may not impact you. People hunt, people kill, I get it. Trailer of Truth, Northern Vegan's website, a little 17-minute video called Trailer of Truth, kind of shows that. And there's another one, Peaceable Kingdom, I believe it's called, which is a little bit longer. That's almost an hour-long documentary. The processing of what you're consuming, again, I was scarred as a child, so I love animals. I'm not going to, you know, kill animals. But to your point of the cheeseburger and the cheese, a friend of mine who also, or an acquaintance, I guess, that I was trying to share with him, that's back when I was being overbearing, and I've no longer done that. I let people, if they're interested, they can come ask me questions. But I said, you know, just go plant-based, give up animal. Oh, he said, I love cheese. I'm like, well, then learn to love the taste of cancer, which is probably a kind of a snippy response. He's like, I already have. Well, you know, the education is there. Arm yourself with knowledge. And if you still love that so much that that's what you want to do, it is your life. And I'm fine with that.
All right, Mary. Thanks so much.
Okay. But the Blue Zones is another thing I wanted to point out. Blue Zones are pockets all over the world where people just live to these outrageous ages and they're healthy, they're building block walls and they're 89 years old. And they're eating mostly plant-based. They do have some animal. Bluezones.com, you can look it up. I try. Well, that's a long story, but I won't bore you with because we only have half an hour. But that's another, oh my dog, that's another site that people can look into Blue Zones because they always have snippets and things that healthy tidbits.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.